Ah, I can hear you, and I hope you can hear me. Welcome, folks. Arts Live and Local. Wow, it's been 4 months. I am so happy to be here with all of you in this new, strange world of ours, with lots of gratitude for the people who are keeping us going here at the station, of course, Graham and Emily, and Nevada, and all the people who are sending in their shows.
And Susan and Janet and Kathleen.
Yes. Oh, it's wonderful to hear them on the air as well.
And Joanne Rideout, of course.
Yes, Joanne Rideout and her fuzzy microphone. And and we're thankful to all the people in this community and everywhere who are keeping us all safe and alive and well. And just take a moment, folks. Imagine a world without art. Imagine your life without art. Does art matter to you? Art matters. Black Lives Matter. KMUN matters. And my listeners matter. And I want to dedicate this show to healing for all people who need it. That's most of us. And a special healing for Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Shout out to Squamish, Sydney, Robin, and Omaha, Galinda on the roof, New York, Wyoming, Long Beach, Brownsmead, and everyone here. So I believe in the power of art. Can open a heart, broaden a mind, spark a conversation, and change the world. And my first two guests here on Arts Live and Local this July 17th clearly also believe in arts. And we all spend a lot of time working on making sure they're alive and well. So I want to welcome Charlene Larson. Hi, Charlene.
Hello, Carol. Oh. It's nice to be with you today.
I love it. This is wonderful. We are all in undisclosed locations, by the way, folks. Not the same ones. And my other guest is Constance Wisenen. Hello, Constance.
Hi, Carol.
Good.
My pleasure to be here.
And Constance has a little buddy there who might end up sounding on the radio, so it's always joyful to hear children as well. Well, we're here to talk about what we've called for many, many years the PAC. And it stood for the Performing Arts Center, and it still does. This is the 16th and Franklin building. I'm going to let my guests give you the history and the names and how it all figured together. A very, very exciting event happened this month. Was it last month? Time is so fluid, I can't even keep track. And some of us gathered to see the transfer of ownership of the building. And the building is not just a building. It has a life force of its own. So congratulations to Constance, Trinity LLC, and to Charlene, the Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts. Wow. We've worked very hard for a long time. So, Charlene, how long have you known this space?
The space goes back, for me, to the late 70s, when I was an auditing student with the orchestra, and Art Vaughn was the orchestra director.
You belong to a couple of different North Oregon Coast Symphony or the North Coast Symphonic Band or something else?
Well, yes, and it, it started with the Seaside Symphony in Seaside, and then came up to Clatsop Community College as an orchestra group, and continued in that genre with Sandy and Lee Stromquist directing us, plus others, music. And Art Vaughn specifically was employed by Clatsop Community College, and he kept the string pieces, the string part of it going, and that's when I got involved. So a good 40 years of, you know, playing in the building and playing with the different groups and partners, such as the North Oregon Coast Symphony and the North Coast Symphonic Band and the North Coast Chorale. And as I've said to you and others, anybody who needs a string bass and they're going to play some music, I'll show up.
Right. This, we're talking the big stand-up bass, one of my favorite instruments. So it's been a real joy to see you trucking that thing around all over the place. You grew up in the Seaside, didn't you?
Yes, what? I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what happened in the 70s? When was it that it changed and from being a church to being the college's performing arts center?
Well, in the mid-70s, the college administration and board decided to purchase from Trinity Lutheran the structure at 588 16th Street, and they did a remodel to a performing arts center. And so when you look in the auditorium and you see the sound baffles up in the ceiling and the full stage and the full lighting, and then practice rooms in the downstairs area that are soundproof, all of that came about to support the college classes that were occurring in that era. So there was theater and there was dance and there was music, and the, you know, the 40 years of the North Coast Symphonic Band rehearsals and productions on that stage, and the 30 plus years of the North Coast Chorale and others.
So
it was a happening place.
Well, I happen to have in front of me something that, because I don't throw anything away, this is a brochure from Clatsop Community College. Unfortunately, it doesn't have a date anywhere, a lesson to all of us. It says Performing Arts Department of Music and Dance, Clatsop Community College, an equal opportunity institution. And it's got photographs of our beloved Anugita, Vicki Durst, and her dance class. Oh, wait a minute. That's me. Oh, yeah. I'm in this picture, too. And Erica Dorfman, who started A Story Told on KMUN. Lulu Heavenrich is here. Nancy Garfield. Oh, there's there's Janine Fairchild from the Columbian Theater. She's in that class, too. We were all dancing at the college, and we put on performances in the Performing Arts Center, and we never used canned music. The music curriculum was, in this case, led by Chris Parker, jazz pianist. And so we combined the dance and the music classes and performed live. Now, Constance, when did you get involved and how?
My first involvement probably came in the 70s, taking my children, or I'm sorry, in the 80s, taking my children there, attending events myself. One of the first things I remember, or the most memorable things, was the first performance of Hitchin. That was such a beautiful show, and I was so glad that we were able to do a reprise a couple years ago, because it's so fun and so appropriate to the time that I think you and I, Carol, kind of remember growing up.
I think so. And, of course, that's the Hitchin was the production, the musical, that Ned Heavenrich wrote the story, and he and Robert Stevens and the Brownsmead Flats wrote the music and performed. And it was, when we reprised it, it was a benefit for the PAC, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And, of course, the Brownsmead Flats have been great supporters of the PAC all along and have done benefits for us each year.
Right.
And a great gift.
Yeah. Boy, that's delightful that that's one of your early memories there. So what else did you do at that building? I know you were part of the North Coast Chorale.
I've been part of the North Coast Chorale probably for, a little over a decade. And it's just a lovely outlet to sing with that group and be able to perform fine choral music at the PAC. And, of course, other than that, just attending performances, the diversity of musicians that we've had available to this community in that venue is wonderful. And, and then I'm also a host for some of the musicians, especially the harpists have stayed at my house. Mm-hmm. That's a delightful way to introduce my family to musicians.
Right, right. You've been great. And you live in East County, so it's not right in Astoria, but you still do it, and it still works for everybody.
They still request me, so it's okay.
I hear you.
My free B&B.
And I hear you make a great soup. So, okay. So,
good.
So, Charlene, why don't you come back in, and both of you can talk to the what happened. I don't even know. Is it 7 or 8 years ago? It feels like a long time. When the college decided it was not interested in that particular program of music and dance and theater. Oh, we did some wonderful plays there. I want to mention also, we had so many forums there in the arts. Also, Holocaust speakers came, and we had diversity gatherings 2 days. With the Human Relations Task Force. That was in the very early 90s. All of that went on at the PAC. So bring us to the time when the college was done with the PAC and what happened and who did it.
Well, times were changing as far as the focus of community colleges. And we were concerned when there was an effort in 2012 to possibly sell the Performing Arts Center and the site to a developer. And so many of us then approached the college administration and the college board with a desire to keep the facility as a community asset, a rehearsal spot, a performance spot, to do all the things that both you and Constance have mentioned that were so much of an outreach to the community. And the college administration and the college board listened and said, you as a group, form up and figure out what your vision is, and we will work with you on it. So we formed up Partners for the PAC. We did a visioning process with help from a grant from the Ford Family Foundation in Roseburg, and did that whole visioning process to say to each other and gathered the community, how can we do this and how can we move forward? And when I go back to read the vision, it was really exciting to realize what had occurred and what we were able to accomplish with the help of all of our partners, and then Constance coming forward as Trinity LLC to partner with us in the purchase.
So it's like so many other things, probably everywhere, but certainly in Clatsop County, you said 2012, so that's 8 years it took. And there were, it was a bit of a roller coaster, wouldn't you say? And I would say that Constance and Charlene, for years, kept on meeting with various and sundry people and trying to negotiate or figure out how we can do this, what needs to be done, etc. Can you give us a little of that? And Constance, how in the world did you end up coming to the conclusion that maybe this is something you can take a big part in?
So, now that's a lot, a lot to cover. Yeah, certainly it was the idea that we could make this happen, that with each of us doing our part, that was possible. But I think my own involvement came when, actually, the seed was planted when my son was 6. I asked him, what do you want for your birthday? And he just looked at me and said, well, Mom, I pretty much have everything I want.
Wow.
And I thought, that is the way to live life. And so that's been a goal of mine.
How old is your son?
Really?
How old is your son
now? He'll be 40 next month.
Okay.
I don't know if he wants that advertised. I just did.
Wow.
Moms get to do what we want.
That's fantastic for a 6-year-old to say that. I'm very impressed.
Well, it was so astute. And
yes.
I realized, like, wouldn't it be nice if we all could live that way?
Mm-hmm.
And so having that goal plus the goal that I have always wanted to be sure that with my life makes a difference, that I left something to my community that was an importance. And I could do that at the time I die, or I can do it now.
Wow.
So when this opportunity came up, the more I thought about it, the more I thought, this is my shot. Sorry, I watched Hamilton last night. This is my shot. And I'm going to take it. And so I figured out how to do it. It took me a while to figure out how to finance that, but I got it done. And I'm in a position that this building will remain in the community ownership in perpetuity. It'll be there for the elders of tomorrow, for my son's generation to participate in the chorale and the symphony, etc., and hopefully for my grandchildren and their children to have musical arts programs. I think we all know the school is not able to support those programs in the way they once were able, certainly not in the way that I had as a young person growing up. And so having this facility there and having the ability to create educational programs, I think we can really, truly build community and make this one of the best communities to live in the whole world.
Well, I can speak on behalf of myself and everybody I know to say we are all extremely grateful that you made that decision. And I guess I'll have to say thank you to your son when I come across him next time for planting the seed, right? Can either of you, both of you, I like the fact that you, your LLC is called Trinity because that was the name of the building before the college bought it. It's the Trinity Lutheran Church.
I wanted to honor that heritage.
But that is not the name of the building going forward. How did that happen? And what is it? And how did it happen? And we might have some blushing going on here, folks. Look into your radios and see if you can see it.
I'm sure you can see a blush on the air.
Yes.
It has a nice sound. So really, from the beginning, that was the one right I reserved with the PAC partners. And I said they would have pretty much free rein to do with the building as was right for the performing arts groups to do. But I wanted to reserve the right to name it. And I knew right from the beginning that there was really only one possibility for that name. Charlene has been such an incredible contributor to our community, the kind of person that I look up to, that's my role model. And she touches the community's life in so many ways. There isn't time to go into all of them now, but
right.
Certainly she was the lead person and the driving force on whenever people started to scatter and get
frightened that there was no way we could pull this whole pack purchase and pack ownership together. She was always the driving force that pulled everybody back and said, oh, nope, we're keeping this on track. And there was nothing that could warm my heart more than to name the building after her.
So
create that legacy.
The Charlene Larson Center for the Performing Arts. And a huge congratulations. And I agree, there isn't enough time to name all of the pots that Charlene's got her finger in. She's all over everywhere. If you check out not just the arts, but definitely in the arts as well. So, Charlene, did you have an inkling that that was going to happen?
No, I did not. And especially since I was on one end of the little string that was holding the banner up.
Yes.
How would you know what was going to be unveiled? And I didn't know what was going to be unveiled. And I had a little trouble getting that string loose.
Yes, you did.
And then finally it fell down, and there it was.
And there was your name in lights.
Yes.
None of us. I'm impressed. Constance was able to keep this to herself. I think Ellen was the only other person to know in order to make the banner. And when the strings did open and the banner unrolled, we all gasped and were absolutely delighted that Constance had decided to honor you, Charlene. So tell us at this point, obviously, the building is not open to guests. What's happening? And by the way, can you name the partners for the pack and let people know who they all are?
Okay, the North Coast Symphonic Band, the North Coast Chorale, the Cascadia Concert Opera, the Astoria Music Festival, we have an AA group, and the North Oregon Coast Symphony, KMUN, in spirit and in support. And did I get everybody?
I
don't want to leave anybody off.
I think so. Have it in front of me.
And special thanks to the Pacific Universalist Unitarian Church, who was with us for 3 years and really focused on supporting the PAC.
Mm-hmm.
And doing special programs as benefits for the PAC, such as the Pete Seeger concerts.
Which will be happening again, thank you, Kit. The Pacific Unitarian Universalist Fellowship has moved to a different space, but the support is still being carried on, and that's fantastic. So tell us what's happening now and what will be happening when the world changes again.
Yes. We weren't expecting COVID-19 to come into play. I don't believe anybody was.
Nope.
But we are shuttered now, and following the guidelines of the governor of the state of Oregon and CDC guidelines and how it relates to social distancing and rehearsals of musical groups and choral groups. But we are in the process of doing some refurbishing. So over the years, and especially after the 2007 storm, we had some roof leaks. And so we took on that project to repair the flat roofs and the scuppers that had faded away and took care of those. And then we have volunteers from the partner group who went into the lobbies and into the tech room to assess that water damage and do repairs. So there's been just a real effort to bring about those repairs with volunteers, and it's looking really nice now in the lobby without the water stains coming down the walls and that sort of thing. So my shout out to our North Coast Symphonic Band members, Brian Bergman and Dennis Hale, and others, Cheryl Capellan and Ellen Norris and Dave Ambrose, who have really stepped forward to assess things that need to be done. And then our thanks also to the Oregon Community Foundation for some funding and other donors for funding to make the repairs happen. And it wouldn't be done without volunteers and without donations.
So
it's a good time to do that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
When you are shuttered because of the COVID-19 virus.
So is there a call out to the community which can't support the theater by being in attendance? Is there a shout out for other ways of supporting the new or renewed, revivified, revitalized Performing Arts Center?
There is. We did send out a postcard to our supporters and encouraged them to purchase a T-shirt, have a nicely designed T-shirt in white or in black, and it shows your support for what we're doing, and it's easy to go online to the website, to the Partners for the PAC website.
What is that?
And put that order in. It's partnersforthepac.org.
That's easy enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And go ahead, Constance.
I think it's always important to remember there are many, many ways to volunteer at the PAC. We need people who do spreadsheets. We need people who can swing a hammer. So no matter what skills you have or don't have, I mean, some of the things are very simple. When we open again, there's always ushering opportunities. There's vacuuming that needs to be done. There's always ways to help out. And, of course, the financial support is critical right now because there's no revenue coming in. And so the electricity bill still needs to be paid. The water still needs to stay on. The heat still needs to stay on. So all of those things. And then, of course, going forward, there will be special projects like continuing to refurbish the organ and continuing with some of the just maintenance work that is always going to be there with the new building. So
the best way for people to stay in touch is through that website, partnersforthepac.org?
Through the website also through our Facebook.
Okay.
We're posting, updates.
Right.
And progress. And then we've also, in this time, in February, just before the coronavirus, we were able to engage a part-time executive director in Berenice Jones Centeno.
Yes,
to
wonderful.
Really keep us up to date on, grant opportunities and the move forward in programming. So that has been a real plus for us also.
Well, congratulations to you two and to Berenice and to all of the partners, including the Tillicum Foundation, the KMUN, and to this community for making it clear that we care about, need, and appreciate the arts. And thank you so much for coming and joining me virtually. And it was good talking with you on Arts Live and Local.
And a special thank you to you, Carol. You also volunteer at the PAC, and your help has been wonderful, both there and serving on the PAC committees and boards. And you've always been great about publicity, so big shout out to you as well.
Thanks. Okay, have a great rest of your days.
In the water, way in the water, way in the water. that the Freedom Train is coming. We're going to say it real loud, and we're going to say it real clear, where Governor Barnett, Johnson, and Phillips can hear us all over the state of Mississippi, saying that the Freedom Train is coming. So we're going to do it again, we're going to say it again, we're going to say it beautifully, and we're going to say it together. So let's try it one more time.
Tis that a freedom train coming, coming, coming. Tis that freedom coming, coming, coming. Coming, 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 coming. Tis that freedom coming, coming. Coming, 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 coming.
Let's get on board.
Get on board.
Okay, we're all here together, and we're here to witness a great rally tonight. The rally of King and Henry for governor and lieutenant governor. Now we're here and we come from long ways, some of us, and we're here to witness the real cause of freedom.
Yeah.
But what we want all to know is there anyone in the house that don't want freedom? But I'm telling you, we're here and we're fighting for freedom, and we're here together and we're fighting together. Now if you don't want freedom, we're gonna make you want freedom tonight. We're gonna tell the world that the Freedom Train is coming. Now, you know, since we're out here saying that the Freedom Train is coming, there are a lot of people outside that didn't come in here tonight. They're saying, now, I passed by that place and I heard you all saying the Freedom Train is coming. Now, if the Freedom Train is coming, sir, I want to know more about the Freedom Train. Can you tell me anything about it, sir? Will there be any Governor Barnett's on this train? Will there be any Phillips or will there be any Johnson? But no, there will be no segregation on this thing. This train would be carrying nothing but freedom. There would be no segregation. So we're going to tell them, and we're going to tell them loud, that the Freedom Train is coming and it's carrying nothing but freedom.
Yeah. Nothing but freedom.
Yeah, get on board. Well, I'm so glad all of you are on board in so many ways, in so many ways. Today, working together as a community, including right here at KMUN Coast Community Radio. And this is Carol here with Arts Live and Local. Local and live. Yeah, close enough. Close enough. And speaking of coming together, I have another guest, and that would be Julia Gingrich. Are you there, Julia?
Yes, hi.
Hi. Nice to hear your voice. We've been writing back and forth, but
yes.
It's good to hear the real thing. Julia is the, I believe you created the Sparrow Dance Company. Is that correct?
Yes, I founded it.
You founded it. When was that?
That was a year ago.
A year ago. Oh. So was that performance at the 1015 Theater, was that the first one?
That was what we call our debut performance. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, it was fabulous. You really blew everybody away. Who is in the Sparrow Dance Company?
Well, we've evolved. We lost Laura Smith and Annie Langan. They were part of the company, and they both moved out of the state, and we gained two. We have new members, Sarah Cohen and Sarah Elder, myself, and Celeste Olivares.
Of course, Celeste. So You've been dancing, what, all your life?
All my life.
I suspect it is so. Have you danced professionally or as well as around the kitchen? And
yes.
Did you study dance? Tell us a little bit about your background.
I've been here, there, and everywhere. I have my degree in dance, and I've dabbled in everything. I trained professionally in ballet. I did a season with Arizona Opera.
Mm-hmm.
but I moved back to Oregon, and I've been all over Oregon teaching and choreographing and performing Eugene, Hood River, Corvallis, Portland. And then now I'm here, and I'm sticking.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear you. And now you've got witnesses, so you can't leave.
Uh-huh.
We've got thousands of people hearing you say that, make that commitment, which is terrific, because that was one of the art forms that kind of was on the ocean waves. And I am so thrilled to see an adult performing dance company. Do you do all the choreography?
I do a majority of the choreography. I really enjoy getting guest artists and choreographers to come out and collaborate with us or set pieces on us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always encouraging the company members to explore choreography because it's a whole different avenue. But, you know, a lot of dancers are, no, I prefer to perform and train.
Mm-hmm.
And so I respect that. But at this point, you know, I have a million dances in the stockpile of my brain. And so I just choreograph away.
So do you remember at what age or time in your life you made the commitment to yourself to become a dancer? Because a lot of us said we wanted to. I did. I took ballet from the time I was 5 till I was 12, and they wouldn't let me on point, and I quit. And which was okay because, you know, my ankles still work more or less. But
yeah.
But many, many children, mostly girls, but obviously some fabulous boys stick it out as well. But most of us don't take it on professionally, don't go to college for dance. Do you have a story about how that happened, or do you remember when it happened?
Yeah, I do, actually. I'd always known dance because that was how my mother socialized me. And I was the only child till I was 8, so she put me in dance class.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, this is cool, and I stuck with it. And then when I was 14 and I hit freshman in high school, I auditioned for the play. And I got the lead role, and my mom said, well, you have to, you know, you can't do both, so you're going to have to quit dance while you're in the play. And once the play was over, I said, that's it. I want to be a professional dancer. And I went back and hit it hard.
Now, how old were you?
I was 14.
Wow.
Yeah, which is late, actually, to really mm-hmm. make the commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And I was late. I had to make up time, mm-hmm. and I hope I did.
it looks it to me and the rest of us, too. And the fact that you're staying makes me happy because, well, for lots of reasons, but also because people do come and go in this area, this beautiful north coast of Oregon, south coast of Washington. And in order to keep things going, we need some folks to anchor in place. So I say that, but you're not anchored at all because you're moving all the time. And you have created a very exciting program, 3 dance concerts as a gift to the community. These are free performances in 3 different locations. And the only thing that people have to remember is to wear their masks and observe social distancing. Tell us what is going to be happening next weekend and the following weekend.
Yeah, we're bringing a street show, and that means, you know, forget the tickets and forget the dressing rooms and the lights and all the fuss and muss, and we just show up with our boombox.
Wow, great.
Yeah.
So what kind of dance are you going to be doing?
We are bringing five, is that correct? Four, five, six, seven. All sorts of different dance forms. Sparrow Dance Company is bringing Irish, salsa, samba, reggae, and a piece from our children's outreach program.
Oh, sweet. Mm-hmm. Sweet. Children's outreach, what does that mean for the company?
That means we have different repertoire that we wouldn't necessarily put on the main stage with lights. So that means pieces we're doing about dinosaurs or unicorns or
great.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
And so that's what Sparrow Dance Company is doing. And then do you have some guest dancers as well?
Yeah, we have Julie Kovach, who will be doing some poi spinning.
Uh-huh.
We have Aaron Carlson and Tawny Regeer doing some hip-hop.
Uh-huh. Oh,
and
wow.
We have Estelle and Celeste Olivares bringing some Argentine tango.
Of course. The Tango Twins. So this is a very exciting program. How long a program will it be? About
30 minutes.
Okay. And I can read it off, but you can tell us anything else that you want to add to it. And correct me if I'm wrong. Friday, a week from tonight at 6 p.m., you will be performing at the Astoria Column. And I'm not really sure. Does that mean where is it going to be?
We will be right on that plaza right below the column.
Wow. Well, that's kind of a hard surface, isn't it?
Oh, we're prepared. We've been practicing all over the place.
Wow. Okay. And Saturday on the 25th at 2 p.m., you'll be performing at the Garden of Surging Waves. Are you going to be using some of the,
the architecture and so on.
Thank you. I was going to say statuary, but no, it's architecture. No, where are you going to be for that one?
We'll be just in front of that archway there, that metal archway.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And that is on, what street is that on? I think it's Duane and 11th.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you're waiting a week for Sunday, August 2nd at 5 p.m. at the Columbia River Maritime Museum Plaza.
Yes.
Whoa, that's going to be incredible.
Yeah.
That's a huge space. So.
Yeah, we laugh and we say we're starting at the top and working our way down to the river.
Yeah, absolutely. So people need to, should they have blankets? Are they going to be standing, or what's the layout going to be?
It's however you can get the best view, you know.
Okay.
A lot of times people end up sitting on the ground so people behind them can see. But it's a pretty entertaining show, so
sounds fabulous.
Yeah, so you can get, you know, you could get a 360 view if you had to.
Is it the same show each time?
It is.
Okay, good. That's good to know. So because that's a lot of dancing.
Yeah.
So, okay. So this is a gift from the Sparrow Dance Company and local dance artists next weekend, Friday night and Saturday afternoon, and then Sunday evening. Is there some place people can go to learn more about Sparrow Dance Company and get the information in front of them?
Sure. On our Facebook page, which is Sparrow Dance Company, Astoria, Oregon.
Okay. You don't do a website, right?
Not at this point.
Okay. Well, most people are on Facebook. Not me, but I've got the information in front of me. So
there you go.
It sounds wonderful. I'm thinking a lot of people are going to be driving up to the column. So they'll just be parking there. And
And there is the $5 fee for parking.
Okay. So if you can walk up Cathedral Trail or something like that and get up there. So this is so exciting. I am so glad that you've... Now, you needed to jump some hoops on this, didn't you?
Yeah, we really wanted to make sure that we were dotting our I's and crossing our T's and making sure that it was going to be a safe thing for the community. And so we really worked closely with Parks and Rec and the Maritime Museum to make sure we were taking all the precautions necessary to make sure that this was going to be a smooth event and enjoyable for the community.
Right. It sounds like a joyful celebration, so and a safe and family-friendly, obviously, completely family-friendly. So for those of you who are involved in dance, it's a no-brainer. For those of you who aren't, it also needs to be a no-brainer because this is a fantastic opportunity to see this group and do whatever you need, whatever you're comfortable with, to make sure your family or you are safe and are able to relax and enjoy the performance. Thank you so much for putting this together. I'm very excited. Do you have, are you just going to keep on trying to keep dance alive and well in whatever way you can?
Of course. I mean, that was one of the biggest things that started flowing was how can I be creative during this pandemic to make sure that art is alive? And for the company, you know, if that means we're going to wear masks and dance 6 feet apart and practice outside in gravel and tennis shoes, well, that's what we're going to do.
So are the dancers going to be wearing masks during this performance?
The company members will be, and the guest dancers, that is their free choice.
Wow. So you are going to be wearing a mask. Woohoo!
Yeah,
that's your one touch of costume there, perhaps.
Yeah, it's a challenge because so much of dancing is, you know, also the expression on your face.
Yes.
And the communication of emotion. And we found practicing in our masks that all of a sudden we had to dance so much bigger to be able to communicate since we were wearing a mask.
Interesting. Right. And yeah, and breathing is very important, too.
Yes.
So, okay. Julia Gingrich and Sparrow Dance Company. Again, this is next Friday evening, 6 p.m. at the Astoria Column. Saturday afternoon, 2 p.m. at Garden of Surging Waves. And Sunday, August 2nd at 5 p.m. at the Columbia River Maritime Museum Plaza. And it sounds like a wonderful, wonderful gift. Thank you so much. And thanks for coming on Arts Live and Local to tell us about it.
Thank you, Carol.
Much appreciated. Okay, dance on.
Well, I'd sing a song I made up for the first anniversary of the Peace Center of Nevada County, and I'll teach it to you. Everything I make up is damn simple. You know, you won't have any problem with it. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. Now, those of you who do not sing, I will see to it personally that a Mormon missionary is sent to each of your homes. And Mr. Keeler will sing this with us, and this long way, and I would like to remind you that the louder you sing, the better he sounds. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. Sometimes our living gets so dark and lonesome, it seems like there's nothing we can do. So we reach out to each other and raise a song together and let our voices carry us through. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. And when the war clouds gather, it's so easy to get angry, and just as hard not to be afraid. But you know in your own heart, no matter what happens, you just can't turn your back and walk away. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. So hand in hand together, we help each other carry the light of peace within us every day. And if we can learn to live it, to walk and talk and give it, that world of peace won't be so far away. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come. We are singing through the hard times, singing through the hard times, working for the good times to come.
Mr. Utah Phillips.
Utah Phillips, you tell him Utah. Wow. Singing through the hard times, that's what we're doing. Whether you're singing in a choral group or in your kitchen, or you're singing with your feet or with your culinary arts. I just discovered Astoria has a brand new country store and bakery. It's called Gathered. It's on 12th and Exchange, and I had to go around the corner and say, wait, I've never seen this before. Yeah, they opened last Wednesday. And all of our wonderful people, businesses in this town who have kept providing for us and kept amending and figuring out how to make things work. We're all in this. We're all singing together. And we're all singing for justice for all people. And we need to put that front and center at the same time and pay attention to the environment as well. There's a lot of tricky stuff being slipped down, and we need to pay attention to us. So thanks, everybody out there. I do want to let you know, first of all, you should go to the coastradio.org website and check out our calendar. There's lots there. I'm just going to mention that tonight from tomorrow and Sunday from 11 to 4, Port of El Waco is having a mini studio tour. Marie Powell, Penny Treat, Louisa Mack. And tonight at 6 at the Cannon Beach Seasons Deli Courtyard, Richard Patrick is going to be doing a concert. And the courtyard will be having lots of live music. So check them out if you're in Cannon Beach. Tomorrow night, the Hackles, our wonderful Luke and Katie, local, the Hackles, will be playing at the Sou'Wester in Seaview starting at 8 o'clock, all outside. So grab your masks and be smart. And then Hi Hi for locals is showing a vintage estate sale tomorrow as well. Next week is the Tolovana Arts Colony Prince Tribute with Erotic City. Yep, that's the name. It's Portland band. 5:30, that's Sunday next week at the Cannon Beach City Park. Locals, masks, etc. And the Cannon Beach Arts Association is doing a virtual art camp. And it's on our website, coastradio.org. Thanks so much for being with me, folks. It feels wonderful to be able to talk to you again about creativity and healing and community. I really, I can't thank you enough. Thanks to Graham and Emily for allowing and making this happen, and by hook and crook, and for my guests, Charlene, Constance, and Julia, and for all of you who are listening and supporting Coast Community Radio. Take care, stay well, and treasure each day.